Tom and Leah are the Watchers.
Gert.
Wow, so Aussie.
Everything here is Gert by sea.
What does Gert mean?
Surrounded.
Oh, it's like the opposite of girth. Girth sure. is inside the width.
Yeah.
And girth is outside the width. Like outer space.
Whoa. You've just blown my mind.
Well, you're the one that watches the all the docos.
Mm.
You're like our doco expert, Linz.
Oh.
Yeah. Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 20.
Uh-oh.
And I see, Tom, you've brought something.
Yep.
Ooh.
You did promise something. Ow, that sounds solid.
Oof.
Give it a good old nut flick.
And chill.
Yeah.
You did promise... You were going to produce a ball for the 20th episode.
I've produced a ball. I'm offering you all a free sack slap.
It's time to be festive, right?
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho.
If you really want to investigate more, it's quite pimply, actually. If you want to investigate more, there will be a photograph on the social medias.
Yep.
We were going to get sound effects, weren't we? But... The week just got away.
It got away.
Thud.
There was Easter. So suddenly we came out of a chocolate coma and it was like, oh, we got to get back to work
again.
Yeah,
right. It happened quickly.
It did.
I don't know about you guys, but I've got a lot to talk about today.
You did a lot of watching?
Yes.
Excellent.
And a lot of reading about watching.
Mm.
Fair bit of news around.
Yeah.
In the world of TV and movies.
Hey, should we talk some news?
Let's talk a little bit of news because there's a bit out there.
Yeah.
I guess probably the first one I'll go with was an interesting one that I saw not that long ago, actually. I only saw it this morning about the CW's picked up 10 of their shows for the next season.
Can I have a guess at a few?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to guess Flash, Arrow,
yep.
Legends of Tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
Supergirl,
yes,
iZombie.
iZombie has not been
cool.
picked up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not fussed. Don't keep up with that.
What's the CW, by the way?
It used to be what Dawson's Creek was on.
Okay.
And
sure.
Now it's the Superhero Network.
Ah,
okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Black Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something Constantine animated.
The other ones that I've got, Supernatural.
Sure, yeah. Man, that show won't die.
It will not. Is this number 14 or something?
Yeah.
It feels like it.
Wow.
Both
yeah.
main
oh,
characters.
Anything's, it's just The Simpsons, oh, really, isn't it?
Both main characters have died multiple times and they've been to hell to retrieve their souls and bring them back.
In fact, it's just the same episode. They just put it on repeat. Riverdale is back again.
Of course.
That would be season 3 for those
yep.
guys. And Jane the Virgin.
Sure.
Apparently might be their last season. And Crazy Ex-Girlfriend will be the last season of that show.
That's got to be a lot of work, that show.
It's pretty intensive, isn't it? There's
yeah.
a lot of songs and...
Dancing. And all sorts of numbers.
It's good fun. Have you seen it, Liz?
No, I don't watch too much.
It's
like,
worth
fiction.
Even just watching one episode.
But songs and dances, I was a big fan of Glee.
I tried to get you into this show. You weren't having a bar of it.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it's the mood.
Sure.
You got to be in the right mood.
It's very true.
There was another story that I saw. Actually, there's a few of them. I'll talk about one a little bit later on because I know that you guys have got a bit more to talk about it as well. But there was a Lindsay Lohan
right.
court case.
What's she done?
Felt like years ago, and I can't believe that it's still floating around. Do you remember back when GTA 5, Grand Theft Auto 5, came out?
Yes.
There was it wasn't even a main quest or mission. They call them missions
yeah.
in GTA, where you had to follow this... movie star around and take paparazzi photos of her.
I remember it fondly because there was some really weird stuff that the paparazzi you were helping said. Really messed up gear.
Right. Exactly. Well, she said that Rockstar, who make GTA, had copied her likeness and her story.
Yep.
It went to
similar.
The courts. Sort of.
That's awkward because the guy hits pay dirt when he catches her. Her character is meant to be a virgin and she's caught enjoying carnal pleasure, but not in the traditional sense.
Sure. Well, that's almost borrowing from Britney's story, isn't it?
Mm.
Sure. Sort of.
Yeah.
I'm a virgin, honestly.
It was really, I guess Rockstar were, they may have taken a bit of Lindsay Lohan-ness, but I think that was just the overall.
Yeah. Sounds like
I'd say that's far more Paris
everyone.
Hilton and that sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that's true.
Low rent.
That's true. The character's name was Lacey Jonas, if you remember. So Lindsay Lohan? No.
One of the Jonases.
One of the Jonases, perhaps, but
cousins.
She's been claiming that it's her likeness and everything, and finally a judge has said, ignore this crazy liar and Rockstar, do what you need to do. It's all okay. It's all on board. So it's been thrown out of court finally, but that game's old.
Yeah, 2012, I think.
It's a long time for her to persist like that.
So that's the slog of the legal system.
I don't know how much has Lindsay Lohan really got going on these days, though. When was the last time you saw her anything?
She was doing some theatre for
was
a time.
Was she?
Yeah.
In
well, London.
Stripping.
Star of the stage.
Oh my gosh.
In the pole.
Star of the stage in the pole.
She should do Parent Trap 2. Even more trappier.
Yeah.
Well, Parent Trap 2, the new batch or something like that.
Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've got no pants on.
Speaking of new batches, of course, we've been talking about this for a while, but Roseanne is back. It's been rebooted. First episode has been on over in the US. I haven't managed to watch it, and you guys have?
Yep.
Yes.
What do you think?
Right.
Yeah. It was there.
So did you enjoy the original Roseanne?
No.
Okay.
I think I was too young to appreciate Roseanne. It was on at some point because you only had four channels. So it was, you know, when you've got Roseanne, the news, or some other rubbish you don't want to watch, the weather.
The weather and the news.
You're going to watch Roseanne. So it was on at some points, but, you know, it's kind of adult look at family life. So it wasn't applicable.
It was super American.
It was one of the shows that were always on that I enjoyed a little bit more. I don't know why. Yeah. I think I like the sassy teenageness of Darlene. And then I watched them all, not all of them, I watched a lot of them again probably about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were quite funny. Mm-hmm. There were some lines and whatnot that's I think held up.
They do have an excellent cast.
It is an excellent cast.
John Goodman. Laurie Metcalf.
Who is amazing. Yeah.
Both amazing.
And the show felt quite flat either time, whenever neither of them were on screen.
Yeah, really?
Oh, Roseanne.
For myself.
Holds her own. I like Roseanne. She's ballsy.
She's very ballsy.
Ballsy lady.
And so is her character.
Does it anyway. Yeah.
Now, both Beckys appear in all the photographs that I've seen.
Yes.
How are they doing that?
It's kind of a spoiler.
Oh, okay. All
one
right.
One of them is Becky, and another one who is now closely intertwined with Becky's story. And they make a whole joke of that. Of oh my gosh, it's like looking in a mirror before I put my makeup on.
But I liken Roseanne to English shows like Coronation mm-hmm. Street and EastEnders. If you're not in England or UK, sorry, to Scotland, if you're not in the UK, it has no relevance for you. It's just not interesting. And that's kind of what Roseanne was like.
No one outside Australia would ever watch Packed to the Rafters because they just don't get the same cultural sensibility and stuff like that. And it felt a little bit like that. The show was this episode we watched was quite preachy. They've all obviously got some very strong opinions on Trump, pro and against.
Okay.
And there's large battle lines drawn between some of the characters.
So when I think about America and their culture and what's going on over there, it's all over the news here and in the rest of the world. I would have thought that would have transferred onto the screen for international audiences. I would have thought if they were talking about stuff like Trump, the international audience would still be interested, but you were not? As much as you could have been?
It was interesting in a way that, I don't know, someone's status is interesting.
Okay.
And it's kind of like...
Sure.
The person,
that's what you think.
The person in charge and writing and starring the show has shown publicly that they believe in a lot of fake news.
Uh-huh.
And that came through in the episode of...
Right.
You know, the person that we, outside of America, looking at things with a different perhaps more impartial news system, mm-hmm. I found myself agreeing with one side more than the other.
Okay.
Which, you know, and in America it would be a very different thing, as, you know, I believe that the ratings have been really strong.
Very strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking at it before, actually. It's broken delayed viewing record. So 3 days, or I think they count it live plus 3 days. So it's beaten the previous record of 5.9 million, held by a show called How to Get Away with Murder.
Yep.
And Roseanne got 25 million. That's a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge difference. So I think the day after that first episode aired, they already announced that they had picked it up for a second season.
Yeah.
But I believe the first season is shorter than what they would have originally had. I think it's maybe only 10 episodes.
Yeah.
To take them through their summer, I think.
But it'll be interesting to see how many people watch the second episode.
Yeah, okay.
I think it might
That'll
go
be
down
a better
a little
barometer,
bit.
I think.
yeah, all right. Yeah.
It is very appealing to Heartland America. Mm. It's aimed square at working class people that did vote for Trump.
Yeah.
And there's clearly a lot of them.
If John Goodman does a duet with Billy Crystal, then maybe I'll watch it again. But otherwise.
Nothing.
Otherwise, that's a step off.
Oh, that is okay. I'm a little bit disappointed in that because I wanted it to be good.
Oh. Hey, your mileage may vary.
Maybe.
You may enjoy
maybe.
It more.
Yeah, potentially.
I mean, maybe it was first one. Maybe they're just warming up or, you know. Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on that first episode, though, because it's been off television for a long time. So there's that high level of nostalgia.
You know who else has been off television for a long time? Clearly the kid that played JD. Because he got one line.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
And he never had that much to talk about anyway.
His line was like, good one, Dad.
He was always a weird kid in the show. There was always something strange about him. He was always doing strange things. So I wonder if they'll sort of take him along the creepy adult.
Well, he's a very noble serviceman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so well, that's changed a lot.
He's just come back from the force in
Iraq or somewhere.
Syria.
Somewhere like that. And his wife is still serving over there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
What else have you guys been watching?
Hey, well, here's some news. I watched Men in Black 3 again, kind of by accident. It's not good.
I don't think I've seen the first two. I don't think I watched the third one.
It doesn't hold up to those ones. There's still some good chuckles through there. Jermaine Clement's having a bit of fun as the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I got into that because there was finally some more news about new Men in Black. It's been a long time coming. They've announced that Chris Hemsworth is going to be starring with Tessa Thompson, who is the lady that played Valkyrie in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah,
and she's
right.
Also on Westworld and really English actress, and her profile's been raising greatly. But the two of them, I think, are going to make great agents. But it made me dig back because there'd been a story that had been rumbling for a few years, which unfortunately has seemed to have petered out. But the guys that made 21 and 22 Jump Street got a package deal together with Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Of crossing over that franchise with Men in Black.
Also have them in the same universe.
Oh, no, have them become Men in Black.
Oh,
of like
right.
they did so well undercover at school that they were going to be undercover aliens, but just still the same silly characters that we'd known from the Jump Street films.
Yeah, right.
Apparently that script still floats around. Well, the ideas for that still float around and hasn't been completely buried, but I was, yeah, it's pushed to the wayside now.
Well, I mean, there's always a reboot of everything. I mean, people reboot things all the time now. You know, they go, oh, no, this is not how Batman is anymore. We're starting it with this. Mm-hmm. These are the rules. These are the characters. So it could potentially still happen.
Yeah. Oh, look, I don't even know if they need to reboot. They can just, you know, come in and this is character DD and F or something like that and just roll that way.
Yeah.
Would they bring Will Smith in? Because
I need the theme song.
Exactly. We need a soundtrack.
We certainly do, and he always provides.
That was no, he doesn't. That was the most disappointing part about Men in Black 3. He left soundtrack duties to fucking Pitbull.
Oh.
Pitbull.
Whoops.
Mr. Worldwide is not Mr. Interplanetary. They are very different things. He's in charge of 305. I get that, but we need someone who's willing to deal.
What is 305? Is that our, like...
It's a postcode.
what, for Earth?
No,
it's interesting. I don't know.
Somewhere in America.
Enough numbers in that for the universe.
I think it's where he hails from or something.
He's a Florida bloke.
He'd be from somewhere around there.
Think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Florida looks right.
It's a lot of white suits. And that's what I mean, I've played GTA Vice City, therefore I know.
Hey, another bit of news. A trailer dropped over the weekend for a film I'm very excited for called Cargo. It's an Australian film. It stars Martin Freeman. Zombies.
Hello.
Yes. He and his wife and their newborn daughter are in the outback somewhere. She's recently been bitten. This is all in the trailer. And when you get bit, you kind of have 48 hours before you turn. So she's right. Recently been bitten. And then the trailer begins with her dying in the car and biting him. And he's now left with their infant child of what do you do? And it looks like he goes on an amazing sort of walkabout style thing. There's a lot of interaction with Indigenous Australians. Mm-hmm. And there may be some sort of shamanistic cure that he's looking for or something like this. But it looks kind of similar to... Oh, I've forgotten the name of it. There was an Arnie movie from 2015 where his daughter was the one that's bit and he's looking after her as she turns. And
right.
This looks like a kind of flip of that with it's the father trying to do something before he turns.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Does he get the Rick sweats?
This trailer looks harrowing. Okay. It doesn't look like it's going to be a good time film.
It's not a Zombieland sort of...
No, it's not, not wackiness.
It's not Shaun of the Dead.
No, it doesn't look like there's any wackiness. But it's based on a short film that came out a few years ago that the same producers and director and everything did. And they've toured around a lot of festival circuits and it's done very well.
Okay.
So expanding to a wide release. And the part that's very cool is we're getting it, I think, you know, I can't remember the exact date we get it, but America gets it the day after on Netflix.
Yeah, right.
So stay tuned. When it's coming, we'll give it another plug so all our American listeners can check it out. Give some Aussie cinema a bit of support.
I mean, and Netflix makes it so easy to watch it.
You
don't even have to leave your house.
Yeah. And look, we've done some great zombie movies in the past. If you haven't checked out Wormwood, it's well worth your time. It's very violent and ridiculous and over the top.
I didn't watch it, but I remember it exists, yeah.
Yeah, we've done that. We've had a cricket bat zombie movie.
Yes.
That was great. Media from space came and caused zombies in a small town while cricket was being played. Of course.
So Aussie.
Yep. And look, the other piece of news I want to talk about is something a bit more serious.
Mm.
People have been demanding justice for Hawkeye.
I have seen this on, funnily enough, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of it going on. Now, it's not, I haven't got it wrong, it's not Hawkeye from MASH, right?
No.
Okay.
No, no, no. Hawkeye from MASH, he's doing his own thing. Yeah. No, this is Hawkeye from the Avengers because Jeremy Renner is entirely absent from any posters, trailers.
No, yeah, he's not on the posters. Seeing.
Now, knowing a bit, it's probably because some hardcore stuff's going to happen to him and he's going to go through some big changes. So I can get why they're keeping him out. But people are not happy. And on April Fool's, basically on Reddit, anything to do with Marvel got taken over by the hashtag Justice for Hawkeye campaign. They redid all the movies' logos, all the Marvel films. So it was Captain Barton, Iron Hawk, Thorkai, all this Thorkai. Stuff is very, very involved. Yeah, Jeremy Renner's on board with this and is pushing it, promoting it himself. Of just like, come on, let's get Hawkeye some love.
That's hilarious.
It's been this groundswell moment of nerds, but it's pretty enjoyable. If you want to have a good laugh, check some of this stuff out.
I would imagine that just everybody in the publicity department not that upset about it.
No.
Yeah, right.
It's great chatter.
It's very Ryan Reynolds, isn't it?
It is Ryan Reynolds-ish, yeah.
It's very self-aware.
Have fun.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when it's time to promote Avengers 4, he will feature far more heavily, possibly because some major cast members have left and he gets to step up into more limelight. But I just find it hilarious that so many people are impatient that the least popular Avenger isn't getting his time in the sun.
Be careful what you wish for.
People are like, hey, you're putting Wong from Doctor Strange up on the poster. Where's Hawkeye? He's a fucking Avenger.
Yeah, but Wong from Doctor Strange, he was in that B Black Mirror episode, so he's got a whole heap of interesting
Benedict
stuff.
Benedict Wong.
Yeah,
he's
good.
He's good. Hey, some new shows, well, not new shows, sorry, some shows came back for new seasons, which made me very excited. So Tanked came back. You know I love my Tanked.
One of your favourites.
Very much so. They had an episode where they did a tank for Keisha Cole, who's an R&B singer I'm not aware of. I think she was, like, championed a bit by maybe Tupac or someone.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but she talked about Tupac
a lot. Era.
Yes. Maybe she was influenced by him a lot, and I missed the word influence. Sure. But if you like seeing cool fish tanks get made and really custom jobs and dudes being goofballs while they do it, Tanked is a great show.
It's been around for a while too.
Yeah, this is might be season 12.
Wow.
They tend to do two seasons a year though. They're only 10 episode seasons.
Yeah, okay.
So that was back. Jim Jefferies' show came back, who's an Australian comedian that has a, not talk show, but kind of like a John Oliver, Trevor Noah style show.
Yeah, right.
And he's known as the gun control guy because he had a stand-up special where he did a segment about that in 2012.
Yeah.
So he came back with a whole episode joining on the you know, march against guns and stuff like that. It was very interesting.
He does it very different to sort of the kind of borderline sanctimonious talk show hosts. He's Jimmy Kimmel, James Corden.
Yeah,
get up all teary. Jim Jefferies injects a lot of humour into his point and gets it across very well.
Well, he's not playing at being super intelligent. He constantly undermines his own intelligence and plays the idiot. So
clever way to go about
it. It's a really different take, and it kind of makes him more endearing and just your everyman sharing a point rather than, you know, I'm a learned scholar. Like, you know, John Oliver likes to come across as the smartest man in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Jefferies intentionally plays at being the dumbest man in the room.
When you know the truth.
He will cut through with a very, very deep philosophical point every now and then. And then the other one was Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which technically came back last week. But I have to give props because this week's episode was one of probably my favourite episode they've ever done.
Yeah.
It was only Jake and Holt. So Jake being Andy Samberg and Holt Andre Bruckner, the captain. And it was the two of them interrogating Sterling K. Brown from The Wire and who was recently in Black Panther and stuff like that. And it was the most bottle episode ever was just them in this interrogation room.
The whole episode?
Yeah.
Huh.
And like occasionally ducking out behind the mirror to talk to each other and stuff like that. But in terms of not flipping but showing how far the show has come in the five seasons that these characters are fleshed out. So just a little bit of background. It's the same guy that created Good Place.
Sure.
And this is a police precinct in New York, and it's far more slapstick and silly than Good Place.
Yeah.
But every now and then they'll tie it together and have a really poignant episode, and this was about the young detective having to prove to the captain how good he was, and both of them slowly realizing that it's because he has an inferiority complex and he needs people to know how great he is.
I could have told you that the first episode.
Well, it's almost a remake of an episode they did in the first season where it was a very similar setup, but they played Jake's character as a goofball.
Mm.
And this one, instead, he plays the goofball, but it's for the purpose of getting the...
So he's playing the... the character is playing a goofball.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's almost like retroactively changing what this first season was of him being an idiot to, in fact, he's quite smart, but he stumbles into a lot of that smartness. And it was brilliantly acted. It was really, really tense. And just because of the actors, the two older actors, just had this amazing gravitas of just, this is very serious.
I know that show has got a solid fan base, and people will watch it over and over again on stuff like Netflix because they just love it so much. So I'd be interested to see how that fan base reacts to this episode. I mean, from your reaction, it sounds like it's not going to be something that will be abrasive to them.
No, I think everyone's going to love it. And like literally only two of the other ensemble cast show up at the first 10 seconds the last 15 seconds of the episode. And that's all it is. The rest of it is just brilliantly acted.
That's going to be one that will be talked about, perhaps, amongst the fans. What else did you catch that was new?
Okay, so I got two new shows that I'm going to give some love to. One was kind of cheesy, called Legendary Locations, and it's a travel guide. It's from the Travel Channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy who visits the most storied locations in the world. So instead of the most glamorous or luxurious holiday locations, he travels to Bolivia or Cameroon, and it's always related to some sort of murder mystery or something like that. So one was where the American diplomat who discovered silk went. He may have been murdered. He may have been kidnapped. He may have just disappeared. He may have disappeared himself.
He made himself disappear.
Yes, but goes and talks about why this travel location's cool and why it's interesting to visit somewhere like that rather than going somewhere for cocktails or this sort of stuff.
Taking a photo of the Eiffel Tower.
But it just had this weird, almost self-aware tone where, you know, it sounded silly me listing off how many ways he could have gone disappeared there. Well, because this show doesn't have a definitive answer, they just kept rolling through them and having their reenactment guy do that.
Oh, right.
So there was like a almost like a minute of Maybe he was murdered. Maybe he was kidnapped. Maybe he got into a car knowingly. Maybe he wandered into the bush. And it just
and the guy had to
and the guy just had to keep doing this stuff, and it went on comedically long. And there was a few little moments like that through there, which I'm sure were just editing tweaks of someone having fun at the end. But it gives this show just a little bit of a different travel vibe.
So it's just like a hybrid of drunk histories.
Yes.
And a travel show.
Yeah. Because, you know, honestly, if I could do stuff with reenactments, I'd be all over that, because it's so funny when done well.
There are so many travel shows anyway, and you've got the travel / cooking hybrid shows. Yeah, but to have a travel / reenacting...
Horrible history.
Yeah, horrible history. That, I get on board with that.
So there's a bit of that. There was a bit of Lost Incan City.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this sort of stuff. So there's two episodes out so far, and I very much enjoyed it. The other one, there's only one episode out so far, but it was called Alex Inc. And it's Zach Braff. It's his new sitcom.
I've heard about this. Yeah. Well, I heard that it was happening.
It was a lot better than I expected.
So what's
I need a few more episodes before I make my judgment.
So he's Alex, obviously.
Yes. So he's a guy who is a very successful radio host of a puff piece feel-good show. And he has the opportunity to interview a guy who likely murdered someone and covered it up, but is keeping, you know, trying to keep mum about it, an older guy. So it's very closely based around a podcast and TV show where someone maybe incriminated themselves while talking into the mirror in the bathroom.
Interesting.
But his bosses at this radio station forbid him from doing that and say, no, we just want the puff piece. People only want happy stuff from you. So he instantly quits his job and decides to form a podcast company and has no faith in himself or no knowledge on how to do it. And it's the rest of the episode is about the people around him going, hang on, you have an unfair advantage. You are the unfair advantage. People love listening to you. Whatever you do, you can make something interesting. So he starts to get a bit of, you know, self-belief and faith in him.
Confidence.
He can do this and stuff. So it looks like it's got some legs. I really enjoyed Zach Braff narrating over the top of things again. It just took me back to Scrubs. It did kind of feel like JD grown up a little bit. Mm. Yeah, I'm interested to see where this one goes.
You've got me intrigued. Yeah. Radio, podcast, Zach Braff.
That's what I mean. It ticked a lot of boxes for me.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Now, what have you been watching, Linz?
So I thought I was talked about a documentary I've seen this week.
Yeah.
And a documentary that I love.
Also one of your all-time favourites.
Yeah, and it's a fairly recent one as well. They're both on Netflix, so it's nice and easy.
Accessible.
So the one I watched this week was called Down to Zero, I believe. And it is all about the borderline legal fraudulent systems of our time, which is multi-level marketing and shorting companies.
Yeah, so right.
It's all about this guy who tries to short Herbalife, or Herbalife, as they call it, in America.
They don't like that H, do they? They're not a fan.
They don't like H's or U's for some reason. I don't know. Is H's Uber. The plural of H? H's.
I think it's
hers.
Yes.
Who knows? Anyway, so it was just a really, really interesting, because there was no good guy.
Yeah, so you kind of left wondering.
Yeah, so the guy who's shorting is like, you know, I'm shorting this company. It's going to be good for America when this company has been shorted down into the ground. Mm. But he's controlling world events and getting very rich from it. And meanwhile, the sort of the people at the bottom of the scheme,
of course,
are not doing too well.
Yeah, which is always the case in this kind of situation.
Yeah, so there's like this giant money battle at the top, and everyone at the bottom is like.
So
getting...
did you feel that it was pretty much an example of what happens all the time, or did you feel that it was a real sort of individual story?
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely, and it sort of had reflections of sort of Facebook and hedge fund managers. And
which I still don't understand, by the way.
Yeah, very
funds,
dirty.
They still confuse me.
Did you watch? Did you watch The Big Short?
No.
Watch Big Short.
And then I'll
understand. You'll have a much greater understanding of exactly what happened.
Yeah, so it's reflective of that. Mm. And, yeah, so it's just really interesting to see. And also they try and have a class action, and the law just does not work.
in their favour.
Yeah, the law is just so cumbersome and long and stuff. So in the end, they end up sort of cozying up to the guy that's shorting the company, because that's their best option. It's like the guy is making a load of money from shorting the company. Well, let's get some compensation off him. So it's
isn't that an interesting circle?
Really interesting reflection of our times and how these things are legal and able to
happen. What was it called again?
Down to Zero.
Down to Zero, okay.
And that's on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested to watch that. Yeah. It sounds...
So it's good. And you'll recognise a few things from it, because there's been stuff said on John Oliver and the news.
Did you feel kind of depressed at any point? Just like, this is what this world is? Or...
No, it's more thrilling, like, finding out about the world.
Yeah.
I was just listening. I wasn't watching it, and it was depressing.
Oh, you found it depressing?
A little bit.
Yeah. Just because of that's how people work.
I think without seeing the visuals, I was just feeling the emotion a lot more. And they kept crossing to the little people getting stomped on.
Yep. But there were some very strong people who were within the community, and they were the heroes, really. Yeah. They were the ones that were, you know, they were doing it not for money, not for just for justice.
For the man!
So the people at the top are all about the money, and the people at the bottom are the ones that have got a few ethics in them.
Yeah,
so,
the hard
really
workers.
Really interesting, yeah.
And you did say that you have one of your favourites.
And then to counteract all that sort of depressing, the you know, New World Order stuff.
Yes, yes.
My favourite has been Whitney, Can I Be Me? It's just got all the elements of
which
things
Whitney
I love.
Which Whitney are we talking about? Give people which some context. Whitney. Just give people some context.
Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. Hey.
You know.
Whitney.
Linda's like, is there another Whitney?
There's a Whitney Cummings.
I used to have hamsters called Whitney and Brittany. So, like, she's dear to my heart. But it's with a superstar like Whitney, you just think that you haven't seen anything. You know, there's nothing someone can show you that
particularly
you
a few
info.
Years after, you know, her death, where I felt like we learnt a lot.
Yeah, but it was a really beautiful tribute, really real. Went into some sort of darker sort of, you know, why is Clive, what's his face, bringing Whitney into sort of a white audience and stuff like that. Clive Davis, you know, she got booed by African Americans
really?
At an award show because she was sort of appealing to the white audience.
Wow, I didn't realise that. I just thought she was universally embraced.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and well, and with Bobby Brown as well, like she wasn't allowed.
I know that was a bit controversial at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when you see them together, you know, she's in a hotel room in a tracky bees, like hanging out with Bobby, having a great time,
keeping
laughing
it real.
With her friends. You know, and I remember when Tom showed me Action Bronson, Bobby Brown.
Yeah, Untitled Action Bronson show, had an episode where Bobby Brown popped up to sing. My prerogative.
Oh, yes.
With a jam band.
Yeah. And when Tom said...
He was very drunk.
Tom says, come watch this. It's Bobby Brown. And my reaction was, Bobby Brown, so much tragedy.
Yeah.
No, he was so happy.
But then we watched it and he's like, he's such a fierce...
Yeah, he was like, I've had struggles. I've gone through some terrible moments in my life, but I'm surrounded by wonderful people who wish nothing but the best for me.
Amazing.
Everybody's talking.
So good.
And just really gave it. Really, really gave
it. Just a quick side note. Your two hamsters, Whitney and Brittany, didn't Brittany sing My Prerogative, a cover of it?
She did, yeah.
All comes round.
Brittany ended up in the bin.
What about Whitney?
Whitney I gave to somebody and they I think they renamed him Mr. Fluff.
That's a big turn. That's a real big turn. So, I know some friends who would love to watch that documentary.
It was really good. It's by Nick Broomfield Whitney. As well, who did Kurt and Courtney and a few other.
Okay,
sort of,
yeah, so that's their thing or his thing.
So beautifully produced.
Okay.
Great pace, new things to see, new things to think about.
Yeah.
I won't explain everything, but, you know, it's just a great a great documentary. And it's just because it's Whitney, you got to smile.
You've got to smile. Yeah. She's an interesting character because she was legendary for so long because of the voice. Her voice. And then there was the whole, I mean, this is from someone who was casually watching from afar.
Yep.
Me. And she had, you know, the Bobby Brown thing, and I knew it was in my periphery that that was a bit controversial. And then she started getting into movies, and then you saw that she was also kind of a little bit of a hot mess every now and then.
Yeah.
And then the eventual demise, and then the really unfortunate demise of her daughter. So there's a lot of story there that can fit into a documentary that would sound absolutely fascinating for anybody, even just a casual fan.
And you see the reasons for that, you know, you have a lot more. You see, like, much like the Amy documentary.
Yes.
You start to see your friends.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, oh, like, she's just a person. She just wants to hang out. But then she's like this almost an athlete of singing.
Yeah.
So phenomenal. She's got this double life. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful.
You got me intrigued.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
I watched something a little bit different.
What's that?
I decided to check out the new ABC comedy Sando.
Oh, yeah. I saw my boy Phil Lloyd's in that.
I saw a guy I work with in, just really quickly, he was in the ad, that the Sando ad.
Sure.
For the furniture store. He was one of the employees. And I went, oh, that's, I know that guy. At this point in time, I've only seen two episodes. They're sort of releasing them as they go along, I think, as they're on television. I watched them on iView, so I got to watch a couple. And it starts off with, she's like the Joyce Main. You wouldn't know, Lynn. Jerry Harvey from Harvey
Norman. She won't know that. A betting emporium.
Yes.
Someone that runs like a Harvey Norman.
Oh, we got okay, sure. Yeah, all right. A bedding or a betting?
Bedding. It's in furniture. Yeah, furniture tycoon. Sort of, you know, but real Aussie larrikin.
Like, what's the guy, serious guy?
Daruki. That's a global thing.
Oh, is that a global thing?
Yeah, this is very much an Australian.
Australian. Cool. Okay. You got the Aussie larrikin, but she's a lady. She speaks like this.
Bing Lee.
Love Bing Lee.
Yeah, Bing Lee. Yeah, okay, good. All right, we've got point references, hopefully, for everybody. If you are in the US, I don't know, type in Joyce Main.
It's like a mini mole. Check it out.
She starts off.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, she's at her daughter's wedding, and she gets a text message, and the text message says, "You're pregnant," and she goes, "Oh no, I'm pregnant," and the whole wedding stops, and her husband goes, "Hang on a second, our anniversary was a year ago." And she goes, oh, about that. I guess this is as good a time as any, seeing the whole wedding stop, to say that I've been sleeping with your soon-to-be husband, daughter.
Oof.
Yeah, that's right. So she gets excommunicated from her family, and then you flash forward to 10 years' time, and she decides that she needs to get back into her family's life again.
Okay.
So she decides to crash her 5-year-old granddaughter's birthday party, and then comedy ensues. It's quite fun.
Nice.
That sounds great.
Give it a go. Yeah.
That's like pure, like, mum's net. Like,
it's
this
a bit
is
of
what
castle.
Happened at the
is
wedding.
It, is it the same people that did Moody Christmas and the Moodies?
See, I'm not sure. I haven't researched into it too much, but it definitely has that feel.
Well, that's what I say, because it's got Phil Lloyd, and that feels like Moody's of checking in with them, an annual thing of the family being forced together in a small location.
And I reckon if you have access to anything from the ABC here in Australia, try and watch it. If you're in the UK or the US, try and find it, because it's a bit of Aussie comedy that I think is indicative of how Aussie comedies are.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Awesome.
It was fun. Another one that I decided to quickly catch up on, and I only watched the first episode, and it's got an Aussie connection, is Netflix Love. It's up to season 3, and I've been watching it since it started.
Sure.
I like this show.
Is that with Gillian Jacobs?
You got Birdie, that's her name.
Sure. And Paul Rust, who's a dreamy singer.
It's just all great.
He's one of the guys from Don't Stop or We'll Die. You know that three piece, the comedy troupe. They don't do anything anymore because one of their Harris Whittle died. But I got a perm for my camping trip. I got a curly pearl for my camping trip.
They do. I just want to hear him sing. It's brilliant.
Oh, they do great songs. Anyway, I love Paul Rust.
Paul Rust is the main one of the main characters. Yes. So he's Gus, and his love interest is Mickey, who is Gillian Jacobs,
mm-hmm.
and Claudia. Darity?
Yeah, Aussie.
Yeah, so she's Bert. Well, it sounds like they're saying Bertie, but it's actually Bertie. And a couple of other people that you either know or you're going to like a lot. And it's just one of those shows that you can watch and get through really quickly. I must say, the season 3 first episode had me laughing out loud. There was a bit where Gus, he ends up deciding that he just needs to pop into the bathroom of this house that two couples are sharing as like a holiday, a getaway, weekend getaway. It's not really a nice place. They're all a bit bored. So he just pops into the bathroom to relieve himself, I would say. But he decides he needs to just watch a video to help himself just finish his adult happy time. Relief. Yeah. But he can't get the volume to work and he can't hear it. Everybody else can because he's still got his Bluetooth speaker on. It was so funny. I was crying. It was so funny. Just the reaction of the others going, what is that noise? What's that?
The curse of AirPlay.
It's a serious never problem. Connect. It's a very serious problem. Very funny. Solid first episode. And if you had watched the other two or even just watched some of it, jump back on board and check it out.
Yeah, that sounds great because I haven't watched too many Australian things.
This one's American.
Oh, it's American?
But it does have the Aussie in it and she is an Aussie.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Sando is the one I reckon
Sando,
you would like.
Yeah, I'm going to watch
that. We are the Watchers. Now, the voice cracked. Hi, I'm the voiceover guy. And I've had enough. Toodaloo.
Should we quickly tackle a bit of Walking Dead? Not too much to talk about.
Yeah, sure.
I would say Jadis and Negan's conversations were interesting. We got to learn a little bit about both of those two.
Yep.
There's a helicopter.
There's the helicopter's back again, which I still want to know where that's from and how nobody has noticed the helicopter sound. Though you would think several years into a zombie apocalypse where there are no helicopters anymore, wouldn't people miles around hear that helicopter sound and go, that's weird?
You'd really think so.
You would think so. So who are these people and how have they still got the fuel? Well, how has everybody still got the fuel?
I like that she lives in like a minimalist IKEA catalogue setup.
Yeah, she's got a nice little setup.
Yeah.
It almost looks like one of those. I would imagine you could get outside of those little coffin-y sort of bed tombs that you can get in Tokyo just for those cheap things. I'd imagine this would be the step up.
Sure.
So you get a little bit of walking room.
It looks like she's just taken a storage container and converted the inside.
Yeah.
Done it up a little bit spesh.
She's got a new outfit. I call it the Tara outfit.
Sure.
She's wearing the flannel now instead of sort of arty clothes.
And a high ponytail.
She's wearing a high ponytail instead of a bob with a severe fringe.
I do like a high ponytail.
It's a very You can't have them for too long, though. If you wear them all day long, your scalp gets sore.
That kind of 80s one, like Napoleon Dynamite. Oh,
yes.
Side on.
Yes. It's a good look.
Yeah. I didn't understand why that zombie was attached to the cart.
It didn't seem like it was much of a threat.
Was it just more of her weird art?
It's just her being artistic, I think.
What would your vehicle of choice be in the zombie apocalypse? Would you go for a helicopter, train, boat?
No, see, we'll come back to it, but I'm terrified of helicopters all over again thanks to the beginning of Far Cry 5.
Yes, we've started Far Cry 5.
Anyway, we're not talking about that right now. Helicopters terrify me in the best of times, so I don't know if I'd be all about that. I think a school bus where you could hollow out the sides and have chainsaws locked in on tracks.
You think ahead.
Well, look, in my defense, that is used, I believe, in Dawn of the Dead, the remake, is where they do it. However, someone trips over and the chainsaw falls inside and cuts a few people open. So it's not a foolproof plan. That's why I say it needs to be on tracks and not slipping out. I would use the interlacing wheel system that roller coasters use of an upper, downwards, and a magnetic wheel from the side.
We, for a while, have been a fan of the Aussie from Western Australia, actually, Aussie Instant Instagram page called the Zombie Survival Guide. They've often got a lot of good ideas to do with vehicles, places to live, weapons, all that sort of stuff. If you want to check that out, bunkers are always seem pretty safe to haul up in.
But then there's like things like submarines. Seems like a good idea, but then also the sort of isolation of it. Like,
and what happens
contained
if one person's infected?
That's it. That's what you've always got to consider, is what's your escape plan if someone's been turned.
So many problems.
I look, if we're going all out fanciful, I think the greatest vehicle you could have to get around in that sort of situation would be Baba Yaga's hut. Baba Yaga is, I believe, a Russian witch or something like that. And she lived in a hut that was 7 or 8 feet off the ground on chicken legs, like a tree house on chicken legs.
Sounds like a Salvador Dali painting.
Very much so. It's just some weird gear, but in terms of getting around, then you're...
Oh, like something from Star Wars with big legs.
An AT-ST, something where you're raised up, you've got great access at the top of a head, but you've also got a secure base that they're not going to be able to tip you over.
Height advantage.
Oh, well, we've sorted the zombie apocalypse out. Still a couple more episodes before the... Well, I think there's one more episode and then the season final.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Maybe Rick will sweat some more.
He'll have another sweat.
He's read the letter, so I look forward to his character being rebooted yet again next week, and now he's got to be more heroic. He's had his time in the dark. That was a horrible thing he did.
Yeah, that was not nice.
Just he said, hey, if you guys help us, if you free us, we'll take you back home. And they freed, and then they helped, and then Rick turned around and literally shot them in the back of the head.
I don't think Rick and Morgan should hang out.
I think
it's
Morgan
always problem.
They need to be separated.
They really do. They don't play well together.
No,
they're a bad influence on each other. Now, we were talking about Far Cry 5.
Yes.
It came out, and Tom sent me a message saying that you were out of the house and he had a moment to start Far Cry 5. And I think you were like, holy hell, the beginning.
It's really intense.
It's super intense.
It kicks off with you as the new rookie deputy on a helicopter going with a US Marshal and a couple of other police to go and raid this cult's... basically go in, raid, and steal away their leader.
You've got an arrest warrant.
And the father's basically like, God's not going to let me take you. God's going to let you take me away.
I will not,
He will not allow that to happen. And, like, he's sitting calmly, handcuffed in the helicopter. He's like, I don't care what's happening. God's not letting this happen. And then as soon as it starts to take off, his people go insane and climb all over the helicopter and jam themselves into the helicopter blade so it crashes.
This is like the first 15 minutes. Oh, you want it?
This is just the intro.
They do the cult leader. Amazing.
And it sets him up. Not to be quite as psycho as Vas from Far Cry 3 necessarily as charismatic as 4, but it just as a this is a man whose followers will do anything for him. And it makes it far more terrifying moving forward of just riling up a minor level threat just becomes a lot more nerve-wracking because
they... That creepy calmness.
Yeah, and they instantly start radioing in to get more people to come and attack you.
You know how I said last week I watched the documentary series Wild Wild Country?
Mm. Yep.
They tried to, they did infiltrate. They had their own police department, which for some reason the Oregon State were like, yeah, that's fine, you can have that. They tried to take over the county council, and then they tried to get into the state.
Yeah.
And this Far Cry 5, they've kind of almost done that themselves.
Yeah.
And they have sort of turned off all communications in and out
for the citizens. They've basically bought up all the land in this crater and then bought the radio station and have bribed all the cops and got everyone on board, and then set up this giant communications tower that essentially blocks any signal going in or out. So you've got to do all this shit to try and get in contact with the National Guard to come and
save this. Because no one's going to help you because they don't know.
Because there's now an army in the middle of America.
It's like mystic corruption.
It is.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I got a dog.
I tried to get a dog. I didn't know how to get the dog out of the cage.
I had to kick the chain.
Oh, you had to kick the chain?
Run up and kick the chain.
I was shooting the chain. Okay. The dog kept barking at me.
Boomer doesn't want to get shot.
Boomer's probably like, you got to kick it. You got to kick it, but I don't speak dog.
Boomer is a good boy.
He's an Aussie cattle dog, isn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Like red?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he runs, like, you can tag him to go and attack someone, and he'll jump on him, steal their weapon, bring it back to you, and then you give him a good boy pat.
Can't wait to figure out how to open that cage. It is really good, and I always like Far Cry gameplay. I think it's fun. It's sort of that open world, do whatever you want, save the day kind of, save your friends with this creepy undertone, and the creepy undertone feels super relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like it could easily happen any second now.
Yeah, I have a feeling when you next watch me play this that you might get a little bit into it, more so than usual.
Slightly engaged.
Yeah.
Slightly engaged.
I'm not going to watch you. I'm sorry.
You might.
Only time will tell.
Maybe I'll get to play it before 11 p.m.
Now, because it is the 20th episode, we've still got to do a quiz, but we're going to do it a little bit differently, I believe, Linz.
This is a surprise for you, Leah.
Excited.
You get to do the quiz today. You get to be in it.
I hope I win, although Tom's here with
we're
me.
We're going to have to actually keep score. So the name of my quiz is, who said that? I just like saying that as well.
It's really good because I was like, I don't know. I didn't hear anything.
So, quotes from movies.
Oh, great.
So,
all right. So, if we need to keep count, should perhaps I count how many I get right and how and Tom does that?
I got a feeling that some of these might be a bit obvious. So, maybe we should have a buzzer system.
Okay.
You want to make a buzzer noise?
You go first. What would you like?
What's your buzzer? All right. Okay. Number one. That's my mom's most favorite piece.
Oh, my goodness.
That's my mom's most favorite piece.
I can hear it. You got to give us a couple of clues.
You want a clue?
Yeah.
The actor went on to play a hairy foot.
Awooga. So it's Michael J. Fox.
No.
It's the Goonies.
It's the Goonies,
and they're upstairs in the attic, right? I think.
They're downstairs,
and it's the that's right. And the
it's a little statue of David.
And then they try and glue it back on again.
Upside down.
That's
so we're
right.
Talking Sean Astin.
Ah,
you said Hairy Foot Man, and I got excited about Teen Wolf. Sorry.
That's fair enough.
It could have been Teen Wolf.
That's one to Leah.
All right.
I knew it.
Number two, don't say my price is too high. Just be honest. You can't afford me.
Is that Jerry Maguire? I mean,
close.
What's his Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character?
No. Different film. More modern.
Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Sorry, I forgot to buzz in.
I know. I'm almost tempted to take your point away for not buzzing in correctly.
So
but as we're at the beginning, we'll let that slide.
So that's one each.
One each.
It's on.
Number three. Gruel. I meant to say cool, but then I started to say great.
This is frustrating me because I recognize it every time. Gruel. I meant to say cool.
And we talked about her earlier.
I've 100% seen it.
Awooga. Is it Mean Girls?
It is Mean Girls.
And it's Lindsay Lohan tripping up her words.
That was a good movie.
Is it when she's talking about all the animal stuff, isn't she? No. No.
I'm not sure. Maybe when she's talking to a boy.
She
or something.
Doesn't even go here.
All right. Number four. Smurfs are asexual. They don't even have reproductive organs under those white pants.
What a great recreation, too. So it's obviously not the Smurfs movie.
Right. Someone dissecting the Smurf land.
Could it potentially be just based off your accent?
Don't listen to the accent.
Oh, really? Because I was going to go, Napoleon Dynamite. Sounds like something he would have a conversation about.
High school students.
Okay.
Right way. Used to date Taylor Swift.
She's had quite a few dates with people.
There's a bunny involved. Dark bunny.
It's not Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
I like that.
It is.
That was a creepy movie.
Are we too old?
Too old.
Yeah, this is...
Shall I just do one more?
Okay, for the decider.
The decider, all right. In death, there are no accidents, no coincidences, no mishaps, and no escapes.
I don't know which one I love more, the fact that this quiz exists or that you're able to do such a great impersonation of them all. Oh, that one's a hard one, Tom. It's not ringing a bell for me.
It's a classic.
Is Robert Downey Jr. involved in this film?
No.
No.
Not one bit.
So I was thinking of that one with the bus. They all die on a bus.
They all die.
They all die.
Well, they don't die, but then they die.
Ah, oh, ooh, Death Becomes Her?
No.
Oh, I like that movie. I was only talking about that recently. What sort of decade are we talking?
90s. Firmly in the 90s.
Okay. Actor?
So the person that says it also has a role as Candyman.
Who is Candyman?
Oh, that's...
That wasn't...
Toby Hooper?
From... That wasn't What's-His-Face from Rocky Horror Picture Show, was it?
Oh, not
Steve Curry. No.
Tim Curry.
Who's Steve Curry?
No.
Basketball or something.
How did I get that name?
So, teenagers on a plane.
Ah, oh, we've got Final Destination.
Oh, that is so 90s.
So 90s.
What's his name?
Joshua Jackson?
No, Devin.
Devin Sawa.
Oh, Devin Sawa.
Sawa. Yeah. I never knew how to pronounce his name.
No one does.
Does he still exist?
He's still a thing.
He probably exists.
Okay. He floats around. Check out Idle Hands.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's
old.
90s as well.
I know, but it's great.
Oh, that was really fun. We're going to have to do a part two of that another time.
I think so.
That one's really
Who said that?
I think that's going to have to wrap it up because we've made a huge episode, a lot in it. And if you are listening, good work.
Happy 20th.
Happy 20th, guys. Thank you for bringing in your dimpled ball.
Yep. My pleasure.
So when's the next ball coming? 40?
Should be 40 be or
30?
One at 40.
We can have a half ball at 30.
Half ball at 30. if you feel like we're in danger of forgetting, make sure you get in contact with us via any of the ways that you possibly can. Lynn, thank you so much for not only the quiz but coming in.
Thanks for having me.
A lot of fun.
It was great.
A lot of fun. And Tom?
Seriously, though, who said that?